Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.
Welcome, welcome to VerK Radio, iHeartRadio. This is the Get Your Business Right show with Michael Muse. You know who I am. I'm Mr. Broadcastpreneur, a.k.a. the Fearless Coach, because overcoming your fears is not an option. I'm here to let you know when you can be in a situation in 2020, you meet phenomenal people. I am fortunate enough to meet a young lady who's in Toastmasters who has been working on her communication, working on her leadership, because greatness, she has a lot of those seeds in her, and she is watering them on a constant basis. And so I want to tell you, I'm excited about this book here. Ladies, you need to get this book here. This is called Menopause Ain't No Joke, Blending Faith and Humor in Perfectly Imperfect Situations. And her name is Angela Verges. How you doing, Angela?
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me today.
I am excited to have you on, a fellow Toastmaster, someone who you're right on the cusp of reaching Distinguished Toastmaster. Excuse my tongue tied. It's been a very long day. And I'm also in the room. We also have who's on the listen. We have Dr. Annie Adams. Just want to tell her thank you for coming out, because she is a distinguished Toastmaster. Not just a regular Toastmaster, but a legendary Toastmaster. So just glad to have her in the building. Glad to have her in the building and to give her proper honor and respect, because without a great mother and great Toastmaster, it all plays a part. So, Angela, tell me, how did you come up with this book?
Well, I've always had the love and passion for writing.
Okay.
I've always loved to write from fifth grade when I had my first journal. I kept journals through middle school, high school, and college as well. So when I find things humorous, I tend to write them down and collect them. I call myself a collector of words and phrases.
Yes.
So the book came about after my participation in a pageant for African American women 50 and older.
What?
Yeah,
50 and older? You do not look 50 and older.
Yes, yep.
So you know what that means, right? Ladies, you have to find out where she lives. I can't tell you where she lives. She's got her and her mom have a fountain of youth in the backyard, and they've been taking some dips. I believe if they come out to mom's church, And they write with the Lord, it might be to get half off on taking that dip in the fountain of youth.
We're giving it away.
That's right.
That's it. You do what you got to do. I really believe you don't have to look like what you're going through.
That's right. And that is absolute true, especially me being someone who survived a heart attack, seizure, and kidney failure all at the same time.
Yes. Wow.
Especially when I did awake, the doctor told me that he had never had anyone survive all three at the same time. And so that began to cement in a foundation of realizing that the purpose that I have for me is way bigger than me.
That's right. That's right.
But enough about me. You started writing at 5 years.
At fifth grade.
And so what was going on that inspired you to put that pen to paper?
It's just something that I've always love to do. I just, things around me, I look at things differently. I'm like, oh, that might make a good story. You know, I see something happening, or if I read something in a newspaper, it could be a word or just a phrase, and it'll trigger something that makes me want to create a story based around that. And with that, we were talking about seasoned women, you know,
yes,
women over 50. So I'm like, okay, menopause, that's it. You know, with all these hot flashes and night sweats, I'm like, something's got to be done with this. I can't be the only one going through this. So I pulled out a couple episodes that I was going through, and I made this collection of essays. And some of them have to do with parenting and fitness while you're going through menopause. So it's not just that thing, but it's whole life situations that could be stressful. And I just want to encourage people to, you know, don't succumb to the stress. You know, you can get through it. You know, absolutely. Use humor, rely on your faith, but just push through it.
And so when you were going through this phase and you began to do a lot more reading and you started writing.
Yes.
So what type of writer were you? Were you the imaginative type or were you the research type where you want to research why the world was the way it was? Or were you the more the fictional writer and you just imagined, say, whoa, I see unicorns. What type of writer were you?
I didn't see the unicorns and the rainbows, but I was more the creative writing.
Okay.
I don't like the technical side of writing. Some people are more technical, interview, journal, as far as interviewing like a journalist type thing. I like the creative side, like you said, the fiction. I could take something true and expand on it to make it fiction.
So what you're saying, you have the skill set. If you have a storyline, you know how to make it more interesting.
Yes, that's exactly what I do. And a lot of times friends or people will call on me because of that. They'll say, okay, were you good at this? Write a play for the church Sunday school. You know, you're good at that. So people begin to call on me for that reason. You know, I sometimes feel like I see things differently.
Right.
You know, something happens and I take it. I'm just like, nobody else sees that this is funny? Is this really happening? You know, I was at a doctor's appointment one time, and they had this little short chair, and then they had a bigger chair. And I was like, really? I said, is that for the people that have gained weight so they made accommodations for us? Because I was feeling like I had gained weight at that moment. I said, well, I'm going to sit in that bigger chair since they have it right there. And I'm the only one in this waiting room, but I'm looking around like, really? Is this really happening? You know, so just little things like that, too.
Exactly, yeah. And so you also, comedian also.
Yes.
And so how did that start? Was that something that started at home and someone told you you were funny or did you?
You know, actually, it didn't. I don't think anyone actually told me that. But just between my brother and I, we're always cracking jokes at family functions and things like that. And when we're out somewhere, it's like we're competing. He's like, oh, no, I'm funnier than you are. So it came about like that, and I would just write things down. I also blog. I have a parenting blog, so I write down funny things that my kids did, or like my son at graduation, he's up there on stage doing the nay-nay and the whip. So I said, well, I'm going to go in the corner and start doing the Jesus will work it out.
That's
and
right.
Start shouting in the corner. So just different things like that. I take an episode that I really wanted to say, you need to sit down and stop dancing on that stage, but I turned it into something funny.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And so at what point did you start doing comedy, actually? Like you said, you and your brother would compete on who was the funniest.
I would say 2017.
Okay, recent.
That,
okay.
Just real recent, yes.
So what spurred that along?
It was the pageant. We had to come up with a talent.
Okay.
So I said, okay, I'll try a little bit of comedy and humor here. And my girlfriend, my best friend, recorded it for me. And then I was playing it that night, and I could hear laughter in the background. I was like, oh, they're laughing. And then I'm laughing all over again. So that kind of started it right there. And then I had somebody say, well, do you go places and perform humor? So After that, I did a couple prayer breakfasts and private birthday parties and luncheons and things like that. So it's been word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how that came about.
And so you've actually got a chance to take it from, like I said, from the pageant situation to actually you got on stage to perform.
Yes.
Now, tell me about that first time on stage. Because it's one thing to do an event for your church in the pageant, because those are people who parishion at the church, friends, family. But to be in front of a group of strangers,
mm-hmm.
What was that experience like for you?
It was nervous. I was nervous at first. I said, wow. You know, I'd done it. And now at the pageant, they had about 500 people there. So I might have had 30, 40 family members there. And then the rest were strangers. I'm sitting in the back thinking, okay, Lord, just let these people laugh. Let them find a little something funny. So I'm back there shaking. My hands were shaking. So I didn't touch the microphone when I went out there. I just went out there and pretended I was sharing stories and I was animated. And it just really flowed. And I said, okay, I like this.
Yes. And so what would you say your story is when you're sharing your comedy?
My story is exactly what I'm going through, to just be relatable, to make it seem like it's a conversational tone, like I'm just sitting talking to friends.
Yes.
And then that's how it comes across. And they're like, somebody can relate to it, like, oh yeah, my kids have been doing this, not telling me it's money on their lunch account and it's negative. You know, they owe for a book they didn't pay for, different things. I even had men come up to me and say things. The t-shirt store where I ordered some t-shirts, I had t-shirts that say menopause ain't no joke. And the guy was like, oh yeah, I know about that. My wife is going through that.
Yeah, I've seen men get divorced over that.
Yeah.
Yeah, menopause not no joke.
And it's really a conversation starter when they see that book title. Yes. And men have told me, well, you should write a book on a man's point of view or call it menopause. So we got some things in the works there too.
That sounds awesome. That sounds fantastic. And so here it is, you're an author, you've written your book, doing comedy, and you're a Toastmaster. And for those who don't know, Toastmaster is an international organization that is 70 years old, and it helps people with their communication and leadership skills. So anyone who's looking to get better communication skills and leadership, Toastmasters is a safe environment. You can find a club near you, because I want to say they have over 15,000 clubs worldwide, international. I believe there's a club on every continent. Yeah, every continent around the world.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
And I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's a good point. That was something my brother asked me too. He said, well, because he was a Toastmaster for a while. He said, well, do you think Toastmasters helped you with your comedy? I said, definitely. You know, before that, I didn't think of myself as an outgoing person that would be standing up here on the stage. But that communication skills, they really help you. Like you say, it's a safe environment.
Yes.
You practice public speaking. Nobody's going to laugh at you because you said a word wrong or anything like that. So it really does help you grow as a communicator and as a leader. So yes. I really like that.
So how, from the communication side, you've already shared how it's helped you even get on stage, do your comedy. How about the leadership side of it?
The leadership side, actually right now, I've taken on a new leadership role in Toastmasters called Club Growth, where we help other clubs get started. We help organizations or community groups start their own Toastmasters group and encourage them to enhance their communication and leadership skills. You know, if we've had to organize different events, that's also a part of leadership. So bringing other people along with me as well.
So what have you learned about you so far in this leadership process?
That's a good question. What have I learned about me? I've learned that I'm a good team player. I'm good at working as a team and then also being able to delegate when necessary. I've learned that I can always grow. There's always something new to learn. And I'm learning that every step of the way. Sometimes there's a lot, so much to learn that it can be overwhelming. But if you, like they say, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Yes.
So you just take it in little pieces and you're growing with each thing that you're learning. So that's what I'm finding with myself, that each experience that I have is helping me to grow and become a better person.
So when you look at, when you look back at your life and look at what you've accomplished thus far, are these some of the things that you imagine as a child you'd be doing?
No.
What did you imagine as a child you'd be doing?
Early childhood, I thought I wanted to be a teacher. And then as I got closer to college, I thought I wanted to be a nurse until I started taking some classes in biology and chemistry and that kind of thing. And I changed my major from nursing. And I ended up in recreation. I knew I wanted to do something with people, though. I always wanted to do something where I'm around people or helping people. I just didn't know what that was going to look like. So I feel like once I hit that 50-year-old mark, it's like I turned a corner.
Okay.
And started doing a lot more things. And it's a good experience.
Hey, as they say, you went all in, right?
I went all in, yeah.
That's right. 'Cause life is short. And it's so important. That's one of the things I I see as important now. We have to take advantage of the now.
Yes.
And not think that we have tomorrow. I believe every person treats people as if this is their last day.
Yes.
Relationships will be better.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make better decisions. And we'll also be able to live a fulfilled life. You know, so I'm just excited that you have made those steps. And you know what? We come to the point in time, it's time to take a quick break.
Okay.
Yeah. Welcome back to Verkay Radio, iHeartRadio, coming from New York City, because Verkay Radio is all about the power of women. And we're going to get your business right show with Angela Verges. And we are talking about her new book, Menopause Ain't No Joke. So I'm excited about this book, Angela. So what were you going through when you decided to write this book? Because all women go through this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we all go through it at some extent, but some people react differently to it. Some
yes.
people, it affects them differently as well. What I was going through was plenty of hot flashes and night sweats. That was the thing that got me. I was like, oh my goodness, how can you get hot all of a sudden, like your whole body is hot from the inside out, just break out in a sweat, and 2 minutes later it disappears. So that's the thing. I carry this big fan, even when I'm in church, I got this big red fan or a big black fan, and it's just when somebody sitting behind me sees it comes out, they're like, oh, she's going through something now. So those were the kind of things, episodes like that, weight gain, the hair loss, you know.
Hair loss. Did you experience hair loss?
Yeah, that's wow. when I first realized that I was okay. going through it, because my hair, I used to wear bangs, and my hair was starting to get thin.
Mm.
And my best friend told me, she said, well, maybe it's the medication you're on. I said, I'm not on any medication. So that made me start thinking, okay, I must be going through something here. You know, you see the hair loss or hair growth. You start getting that extra hair under your chin and your mustache started getting thicker. So different things like that were all a part of some of the things that I experienced. And I know some women say they get the emotional side of it too, where they feel like they're just, either they cry a lot or they feel like they want to choke somebody. So there's varying degrees of what people go through, but mine was mostly the hot flashes and night sweats.
Mm. So
my way of dealing with that was journaling and coming up with this book, just writing about it. And I found that it's just a good conversation starter, because people
Absolutely.
Have told me that, you know, not a lot of people talk about this anymore. You know, my mother never talked about it or said anything. That's what a lot of them say to me. So I listen. You know, and I encourage them, you know, if they have, I'm not a doctor, but I can tell you life experiences that I've gone through. And they share some of that and they feel better walking away than just opening up that dialogue.
Yeah, nobody could deny a person's own personal experiences in life.
Yes.
You know, so it's critical that we take on our divine purpose. And that we go after it with everything that we have.
So true.
And I love what I love it because you have a section here on the humor. So you definitely are definitely making sure you touch that funny side of a person to really lighten things up. That hey, life may be rough, may be tough, mm-hmm. but it's light at the end. And let's have fun
That's
along
right.
the way.
That's exactly it. There is light at the end of the tunnel. You know, you have to loosen up and laugh. Find a reason to laugh every day.
That's
what
right.
I say. A chuckle a day. Keep stress at bay. You know, find mm-hmm. something that makes you smile every day.
And I know you have a section on reflections for a personal journal.
Yes.
So my question for you is, what have you experienced in your life to be so passionate about reflections and being thankful?
Just my daily walk. Sometimes I think back, I look back and think about my kids and where they've come from and what they've been through. Sometimes it's a struggle when they were younger, trying to get them to do homework and You know, one son, they say he had ADHD, attention deficit disorder, and he struggled in class and doing homework. And then to see him graduate from high school and then make the dean's list in college, things like that, I feel like, okay, you know, I've come through some things and he's come through some struggles. It's going to be okay. We all go through something and we have to know that we're going to make it through. And that's the faith part of it. You can reflect on these things, like you said, looking back on what I've come through from then and now, it's like, wow. I looked at my son the other day, and he's this big football player. I'm like, when did you get this big? And he used to try to wrestle me and throw me on the couch. I'm like, you know I'm 50 now, right? That was when I was 50. I said, I don't want to wrestle anymore. But he's like, you strong too, Ma. So just things like that, and we chuckle and we laugh together. So family is everything, too.
Yes, it is.
You know.
And I notice you have a section here, Jesus and a hot flash saved my life. Kind of hit on a couple points in that chapter.
Jesus and a hot flash saved my life. That chapter, to me, that was one day when I was cooking some green beans. I was steaming some green beans in my pot, and I just laid down for a minute, and I fell asleep. And all of a sudden, I had a hot flash. And that's what made me jump up. And then all of a sudden, I smelled something. And I said, I ran down the stairs like the gingerbread man. Jumped from the bed and ran to the kitchen. And that's when I turned those beans off. You know, and I said, well, the beans didn't even get black, but my pan was scorched. You know, that's why I said, Jesus woke me up with that hot flash. And I made it down to the kitchen and turned that stove off. So that's how I came up with the title for that particular essay.
And that's powerful right there, because I really believe that when people, especially this society we're in now, people have been using the excuse of me. I'm going to do me right now. I'm going to do what makes me feel good right now. And people have just forgotten the whole aspect of God and spirituality and the aspect of it. Because God is still sovereign. Still, he is going to make the final determination. But too often we get so caught up in ourselves, caught up in our situations, not realizing that no matter how bad life gets, no matter what we go through, even on the decisions that we make that are not right, God still finds the good in it for us. But we have to be open and willing and honest and humble enough to see it.
And that's exactly it. We have to humble ourselves. And like you say, every day I'm like, ooh, thank you for waking me up and letting me be able to move, you know, and get the things done that I need to do every day. You know, as parents, we're running all over the place, especially when the kids are little and they're in Little League and they're in this and this after-school program and taking them everywhere. So just it's a daily challenge sometimes, but you just get through it and you be grateful. And and that's my thing is gratitude too. You want to always have a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. So that's kind of my passion and my reason for putting that reflection in there as well, so people have that time, that quiet time to reflect whenever that is for you. Some people, it may be early morning, late at night, lunchtime, whenever it is. Just have a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
So what made you start a nutrition program?
One of the things I found, too, I've always been conscious about my weight and wanting to be comfortable. I got to a certain point where I wanted to work out, but then I got stuck. And like they say, with menopause, too, you pack it on and then it's hard to get it off. And then a friend told me about this women's fitness center that she goes to. And they're really supportive there because the coaches talk to you about nutrition as far as having that balance with what you eat and not just working out, but having that combination of that is what makes things work for you. And you may not always get it right, like me. I can lose the weight for a minute. Yes. You might put it back on, but the thing is to just don't give up.
Well, see, you blessed. At least you let it lose and get it off. I'm still fighting to get it off.
I'm stuck.
I've been stuck forever. As the old folks say, I've been big boned all right, my life.
I'm just big bone. I'm not overweight. I'm under tall. I'm just a little short.
Yes. And so, how has the book Yeah, so definitely you have made, I am definitely impressed with what you're doing and the direction you're going in. Distracted prayer. Now, how does the menopause and distracted prayer come into play?
Well, the way that came into place is when I'm sitting at church trying to pray, and then a person next to me started rattling some paper, some candy paper or something they were opening. So I opened one eye to see what was going on. And then the person on the other side of me was opening up Christmas cards or birthday cards or something. I'm like, oh, Lord, I was trying to pray with the person up front praying. But then they finally stopped doing that. And then somebody else started coughing. And the person on the other side passed her a cough drop. I'm like, okay, I guess this prayer has ended now.
That's right.
Just distractions. I was just easily distracted.
So my one question for someone who's listening, for a woman who's listening right now, and she says, Angela, where are you trying to go with this menopause thing? So my question is, what are 2 points on blending faith and humor in a perfect situation? What can a woman do immediately to apply that to their life?
I would say any situation that they're going through, mm-hmm. pray about it before you become stressed. I mean, there are some daily good stresses, but I would say pray about that situation.
Yes.
You know, that's how you blend the faith. And then find some humor in it. It might not be funny right then, but maybe a few days later, you could laugh about when your car broke down in the middle of the gas pump and you standing around looking to see who's going to help you, because that happened to me last week. Last week. The car cut off, and I said, I don't know what to do. This car won't start, really? So I'm walking around. I got jumper cables in the truck, but I'm like, who do I ask to help me? The girl over there, does she look like she know how to put the red on red and black on black? So I went, I know a little bit, but I needed some help. So I went and found a guy on the other side. I was stereotyping. I just went and found a guy. I was like, do you have time to give me a jump? And he didn't look like he wanted to help, but he said, do you have some cables? I said, yes, I do. So he came over and helped me and started right up. And I drove straight to the dealership.
Thank the Lord for cables.
That's right. Thank the Lord for jumper cables.
Look at that. Was it. That was his way out right there.
Right.
He probably been saying to himself initially, I hope she says she don't have no cables because I'm ready to go.
Exactly. So just that's blending the faith and the humor together. It's just making light of it and just moving on. Because if you stand there and stress about it, your hair's going to go gray, or either it's going to go bald and you start losing it.
Yeah, go bald.
And women can go bald too. So yeah. you don't want to stress any more than necessary. Don't Absolutely. Stress over things that are out of your control. That's the key point there.
You're right. You hit on a good point there. And so we're getting close to the end of this interview here. So what are 3 things you want to leave the listenership with when it comes to your book?
3 things that I would leave them with. I would say, have a strong faith foundation. Don't sweat the small stuff. And know that menopause ain't no joke. You will get through it.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody, some people are gifted like her. One statement says it all. So I just want, the most important thing, how can people get this book?
I'm glad you asked that. I was just thinking that. It is on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or they can go to my website, AngelaVerges.com, and that's AngelaV, as in Victor, ERGES. And I'll be glad to chat with you.
Y'all hear that, ladies and gentlemen? She is happy and glad to chat with you. So if you're going through menopause, premenopause, in menopause, or the end of menopause, she is going to be able to give you some great advice and help you out. And also, she's still got that fountain of youth now.
Hey.
So if you're ready to take your dip, come with a whole lot of tips.
There we go. Thanks, Michael, for having me on your show.
I appreciate you for coming on, because we live in a society where too many people have experiences that they're not sharing with other people. And those experiences can actually save other people's lives.
Yes.
And I knew how important it was for me when I shared my story with someone and they was contemplating suicide. And once they heard my story, they said, you know what? My situation's not that bad. They said, if you can do it, I can do it.
Right.
And so, yeah, so I'm definitely excited about you. You are a hero for other women, and you're leading in your community. And being a great communicator and leadership and Toastmasters, almost on the cusp of getting that DTM.
All right.
So I just want to thank you so much for coming on, because that's what it takes. It takes people like you who are sharing your heart, sharing your life and your experiences, and letting your divine nature with God shine. So I just want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing that with our listeners. Because, you know, listeners, you know, without you, there is no me. I love you. God loves you. And there's nothing you can do about it. And this is the Get Your Business Right show, where women come to make the right power moves, meet the right people, but most importantly, get in that right environment. So thank you. See you next time.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.